couple comments before I start. First of all, thank you for the opportunity to be able to speak. Thank the elders. Thank this congregation. It's always a privilege to be able to speak God's word. I'm very grateful for that as a preacher, and I know that's something maybe I take it for granted, but I'm very thankful for it, and I welcome anyone who has the opportunity to speak to do that. Just one comment. The young adult, we made a comment about distractions, and a lot of people were distracted because they were sitting in the back. So you can notice I've got some competition in the front seat. We've got three of them up here already. Before long, we were putting blankets down front seat to try to get a spot. But it's a good thing. People just been working on trying to become more focused in life. It's an easy thing to do is to get distracted. And with that, the thing we've been talking about is in 1 Corinthians, talking about the idea of a side effect. And in the scripture reading, which Wesley, thank you for presenting that to us, talking about a side effect and talking about these Corinthian church, Paul was mentioning that about eating meat. He realized that it wasn't a problem for him because the effect of it was he was just eating meat. He knew that those idols didn't mean anything. But for some, a side effect was it bothered their conscience. It bugged them. They didn't like it. And as he mentioned, if it causes someone to stumble, then we shouldn't do it. So today's lesson is about side effects. And if you follow along with me, I realize it's in the medical industry, but we're going to put a little different spin into it. A side effect is usually regarded as an undesirable secondary effect which occurs in addition to the desired therapeutic effect of a drug or medication. Side effects may vary for each individual depending on the person's disease, state, age, weight, gender, ethnicity, and general health. So when I think about this myself, I've realized that some may realize that there's more secondary effects than there is the initial treatment was prescribed. So when you think about that, for myself, take a blood pressure pill. I don't know if my blood pressure went down any. I can tell you what, I got itching, swelling, severe dizziness. Worst thing I ever did was I went on Google to see what the side effect was. I had everything but a lower blood pressure. Because I increased it because I had anxiety based off of what the side effect was. And I think everybody can relate to that a lot. And that happens to us a lot. Because there is secondary effects, even in situations. So when we commit sin in our lives, the consequences may have multiple side effects. So let's look at a couple things, a couple people in the Bible that had this situation occur to them. Noah, in Genesis 9:20 through 25, it says, "And Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. Then he drank of the wine and was drunk, and became uncovered in his tent, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid on both their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. So Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done to him. And he said, 'Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants. He shall be to his brother.'" So to me, the effect of this was Noah had sin in his life, didn't he? He had drunkenness. Within drunkenness, you become vulnerable, right? You become less aware of your surroundings. See, he wasn't able to handle himself as what a father should be in that given situation. Maybe that's us. We kind of let our guard down. But the side effect of it was Ham disrespected his dad. And I think about this myself. I'm thinking about, you know, when I put myself out there, when I do things, and then I'm not in control of the situation, this is a side effect that I allow this ability for me to be able to teach my children. And if the sad part about that whole story, I mean, we talk about Noah and all the good things he'd done, but if you ever look at that, that's the last time they ever really mention him in the Bible. It comes up until the New Testament. But you think about that, that's a sad way to go out. All the good things that you've done, but really the last thing you talked about in your life was being drunk. That's something to think about. We should always be on guard. Another person in the Bible, I asked Megan about this. I said, "You remember Jason?" The Bible, she goes, "Sure, it's in there." And I said, "Yeah, that's in there." I said, "It's probably a person we don't really talk about much." Because there's really only one situation talking about in Acts 17, 5 through 9. It says, "But the Jews who were not persuaded become envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace, and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, 'These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Jason has harbored them. And these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, Jesus.' And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they had heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. Paul and Silas had great intentions. This was them that were spreading the gospel throughout the land. Well, they run into a crowd that didn't agree to what they were preaching. So the effect of it was, because if you mention, there's a good thing, and that we'll see down there, is that the gospel had turned the world upside down in their eyes. But the effect was envy, hostility, uproar. But the side effect of this was Jason. He was just included because he worshipped, because he was a good person, because he took Paul and Silas and he's been in what we would consider maybe an innocent bystander, right? He was arrested, falsely accused of harboring these people. And then on top of it, he had to pay money to get out of jail. How often does that happen to you? You've been in a situation where you've been the innocent person, and for some reason, because you was around that person or that did it, you were the one who got blamed for it. If you ever talk to Darren and Missy's kids, they always say that. I always remember that, talking to them. Well, he didn't do it. It was him. Before long, none of them did it. And that happens a lot within families. We talk about that. But think about that sometime, because like you said, you think about these people. The side effects are sometimes you should have been caught up in it, but you were. Worry. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. "Therefore I say unto you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to a stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, he will not much more clothe you, O you of little faith. Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows what you need of all things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things." For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I think about this because you want to talk about a worry wart. I was pretty close to like number top five if you've ever been around. Worry about everything. Nervous. Had no idea, because you know the effect of worry, it causes fear. It's fear. You fear, but you fear the wrong things. You don't fear God. You fear what the world presents itself. And with that, if you're like me, remember we talk about these medications because of worry? Anxiety is a side effect of this worry. And I had anxiety like you wouldn't believe. And it started when I was a young kid. Like 3 or 4 years old, I remember this. I remember this taking over my life. And maybe you are in this audience today and you struggle with this. You worry about everything. Something, if you don't do something a certain way, if you don't touch something a certain way, if you think something's going to happen to you, if you do something in a certain way, that's fear. That's worry. But you're fearing death. You're fearing the things that you shouldn't be fearing. You didn't put this in God's hands to help you through it. I've been there. I struggled with that. And the problem that it has on you is that it keeps compounding. You have rejection, death, poverty, all these things you start to think about and worry about. Think about this. Because with one thing, there's a ripple effect. At this time, you should draw closer to God in your life. Matthew 7:1-5. Judge not that you be not judged. For what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite! First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will clearly see, clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. What I found out when I do this myself, because I've been a sinner. I am a sinner. I struggle with these things just as much as you do. Because the effect is that you feel good about yourself because you're better than that person. You feel better about yourself because you're doing something better than that person that you're judging. The side effect is, who's to say that that person that you are judging is a person that you truly want to compare yourself to? How do you know they're going to heaven? How do you know anyone that you compare yourself to is going to heaven? That's what the problem a lot of times with us is. We lower the standard. We think I can get by with that person, but you know what? This is an issue. Because we also, in addition to that, we lose our love for one another. Another side effect, in a good way. James 5:19-20. Brethren, if any man among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he turns a sinner from the error of his way, will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. I know a lot of us, this is hard to grasp, but when we lift that burden of sin out of our life, I mean, I say lift it out, I say truly move away from it. Not just kind of dab and in a little bit and that repents. We actually understand that there is a sin. And we are okay that we acknowledge it in our lives. We are okay that I understand that I have a sin and I'm getting rid of it. I understand that someone has opened my eyes. Someone has helped me. I've had people call me up, tell me I've been living in sin. I am very grateful for that. You know how difficult it was for them to do that? You ever try to call somebody up and tell them they did something wrong? I don't think anybody in here sitting here wants to do that. But if they truly love you, and that person did, it made me realize that, you know what? They're right. I'm repenting. I went forward. Because it was something that I knew I was never going to make it to heaven with that sin in my life. Because when that person did that for me, the side effect was I knew myself that I was carrying this sin. I felt like I could come back to services again. I feel like I could step in that building again. Before, I knew that I was not the person that people looked at and thought I was. So good works came from that. So, in conclusion, situations in our lives can have good or bad side effects, can't they? As we just mentioned. In the Bible, we've seen it. Sometimes we may have good intentions, but a stray word or action may cause us to lose hope. Even when we say something, it doesn't come across that way. I've mentioned this to multiple people in this. I send an email out. The only thing I don't like about this instant messenger is when I say something back to that, like my boss or Rick, I don't think we mean you converse much, but when I say sure, I don't know if I mean sure or sure, I'll do it. I don't know. I can't get that reaction. And that's something that really bothers me. I'm like one of these people. I got to see what's going on. But sometimes for us, even when we're in a situation, maybe that person didn't take that the right way. And you truly meant it the right, I mean, you truly meant love by it. Build on your faith and strive for a better tomorrow. Don't let things get down. Even if it's a bad side effect, just continue to move forward. Think, you know what? Make the best out of the situation. Because in Galatians 6:1 it says, brethren, if a man has ever taken any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. Consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. I switched this up. Louisville got a different picture than you guys got. Because really, Sydney, you would have been the one in the other picture. But she missed that one. It was about a jellyfish. And I was thinking about people going into the ocean. But this one is a little different story because this one hits home a lot more for me than the jellyfish one did. And what it is I think about this, is the first time your child takes a step when they walk. And I've always thought about this, of what this means to different people. Because I'm usually on the negative part of it, like, oh no, they're going to be getting into everything. Lock the cupboards up. It's over. I don't have any peace for the next 2 years. That's how some people look at it. Side effect is they might be getting into stuff, right? Others is like, wow, my child is growing. This is a huge achievement in life. And I thought about this is when I see somebody, honestly, and it doesn't happen very often. When I would sit in this seat and I would see somebody come forward, repentance. You know, the first thing I thought about myself was when they come up through there, it wasn't like, I wonder what sin they got. It's like, man, I've got sin in my life. Wonder what pricked their hearts to get them to step forward. Because sometimes walking out of that step in that seat, that's probably a bigger step than your first time as a kid. And I've always thought about that. That's a huge step walking out of there. Because for a lot of us, that was our time that we came to become baptized, wasn't it? That's the time we came forward and became a child of God. Others, it was a time that we finally got rid of that sin in our life. That's a big step. But the side effect was, and you probably don't realize it, not only did it help you in your life, people in this congregation, when they seen it, they start to reevaluate their life too. And it pricks their hearts. And it makes them think, you know what? I need the help of the church. I need the prayers of this congregation. If you've never become a child of God, and you wish to become one today, no better time than to start. God welcomes you in His kingdom just as much as we do in His congregation. But if you have a prayer, that you need prayers in your life for a sin that's plaguing you, that continues to hold you back, we can do that for you to this day. If you have the need, would you please come forward as we stand and sing?